Welcome to Pathways to Heart podcast series presented by the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at Sophia University. Sophia University is located in California and offers students a unique educational experience rooted in transformative, transpersonal education. The Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning supports transformative education by creating engaged leaders and learners through resources, trainings, and events. This podcast series focuses on critical emerging issues in our communities. Today's podcast is a discussion with Dr. Rose Marie Anderson. Dr. Anderson is well known to the transpersonal community in her role as professor at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology beginning in 1992. Her pioneering work in research is documented in her books, Transpersonal Research Methods for the Social Sciences and Transforming Self and Others Through Research, which she co-authored with the late William Broad. Here, Dr. Anderson shares her thoughts on the future of transpersonal psychology. She is interviewed by Dr. John Elfers. Welcome, Dr. Rose Marie Anderson, and thank you for being here today to share your wealth of experience with our listeners. I wanted to begin with a bit of reflection about your past contributions. So, you were a key figure in helping to shape the development and expansion of transpersonal psychology. I'm really curious about what was it that drew you to the discipline?
Well, thank you. It's a really good question. My career, if that's what one can call it, has been various. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more later when I come to suggesting what new transpersonalists might do in their professional life. But what happened is I was prior to joining ITP, now Sophia University, in 1992, I was the Episcopal chaplain at UC Santa Cruz. And I did that for about 2 years. And then the diocese lost its funding, or it withdrew its funding for budgetary reasons. So I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do now? And so what happened is I was teaching as an adjunct at ITP already. And Dwight Judy, then the chair of the global program, announced a new position, that the global program had grown considerably and he needed some help. And so I applied. I thought, boy, that would be the greatest combination, because then I get to combine my interests in spirituality and psychology, because I had been a psychologist a professor of psychology for about 20 years at that time before I went to seminary. And so it was just a great opportunity from my point of view to join my two professional interests. And I had a great time for 22 years at Sophia University.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, when that one door closed, another amazing door opened for you, another great opportunity. That was 1992. So I'm noticing what changes you have noticed, like over time, from your beginning, those seminal beginnings, what changes have you noticed since that time?
Well, certainly transpersonal psychology started before 1992. It started actually in 1969 as the official date when Tony Sudish, editor of the Journal of Humanistic Psychology, founded the Journal of Transpersonal Psychology. And in collaboration with Abraham Maslow, the field began. And then ITP began in the early 70s. And so certainly there's at least in 16, 18 year gap between when the school began and the field began, and when I was at ITP. But the feeling at that time was very, in 1992, was very innovative and sort of exciting. Everything was new and different. And everybody was willing to try things that had never been tried before. And that was the feeling in 1992. And I'm sure it was even more so earlier. And so when I started at ITP, you know, I started working with the late William Broad, who was also there. He came in 1992. So we're the new faculty at that time, core faculty. And we started working together and started teaching research courses and realized that our training in experimental psychologists, both of us were trained in experimental psychology, was not going to meet the needs of our students, particularly in doing their dissertations. So we started innovating and creating new research methods. And, you know, and from there, two books developed over time, which, you know, a lot of you may have read at this point.
Yeah, I would think many of our students here at SOFIA, formerly ITP, would have that familiarity. And to your point, I think, you know, I sense a lot of excitement in students, you know, coming in. They have a big vision, they're excited, they're passionate. And so I think transpersonal psychology has always maybe been, you know, in its own little niche there because of that. Do you see transpersonal psychology becoming more mainstream down the road, or is it maybe better that we maintain our little status over here?
Well, maybe it'd be better if we continue by on our own and our, because we do have a quality of innovation and excitement in the field, in students and faculty alike. And but if we go mainstream, you know, it's, which in many ways, if the field moves into mainstream psychology, the thing is that we're not necessarily going to get credit for what we have done. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people don't get credit for the great things they do, but the truth is that transpersonal psychology has already made a tremendous difference, even though we are rarely acknowledged. If I look at a variety of things, if I look at what is happening in humanistic psychology or sociology and anthropology, even environmental studies and things like fields like that, we were often the first on the scene with these things. And I hope that the excitement will move into mainstream if indeed transpersonal becomes a formal part of, say, the American Psychological Association and other worldwide associations. I hope the excitement stays and the innovation.
Yeah, I do too. And I would say the excitement around, you know, the topic area that we focus on, but also our research methods, which, you know, you have been one of a prime pioneer in that respect. And do you think, as you see changes, say, over the last, you know, 30 years, do you see more acceptance in relation to some of the more innovative or novel approaches to conducting research?
Yeah, there are. Yes, there is an openness towards innovative procedures and methods. I get a lot of emails about intuitive inquiry, which is my research method. And I get a lot of questions in general, either email or at conferences and so on. The field is opening up. Even phenomenology, which is, you know, was extremely innovative in its own era, in its own time, is using or blending with transpersonal methods or intuitive ways of approaching research. So yes, things are changing.
Good. And I think one of the challenges for our students is that, you know, we want them to have a grounding in very traditional methods, but also the more innovative methods. So in a sense, we're asking a little more of them to think very broadly about that. Let me ask you, I'm curious about what suggestions you have for our new transpersonalists coming into the field. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Because I think there's a lot of research, you know, and certainly I'm a good example. I have changed careers at least 6 times. And so in a way, the first thing I would want to say is that don't worry about your career, because you'll change it and you'll change it again and you'll probably change it again. Most people, you know, it's between 3 and 7 times is the research on how many times people change their careers. And in my particular case, for instance, I have said in a number of contexts that all my careers are about one thing. It's about yakety yak. It's about talking. Whether I'm teaching or I'm in the pulpit preaching or I'm writing or talking to students and supervisors, it's all about talking. So there is a thread, but still there are, you know, in my case, you know, several distinct careers, from being an experimental psychologist to being an Episcopal priest to being a personal psychologist and then a trade author and poet, which is what I am now. So the first thing is not to worry about what your career is going to be, because it'll change. And I took some notes, you know, about this related topic, is because I think this is really important that I share some of my experience. What I also suggest is that really cultivate your intuition. And often, in my case, it's often been through travel that I lived in Asia for years, I lived in Europe for 4, I've traveled all around, that to find ways to develop your intuition, to develop basically your right hemisphere, the qualities that make you innovative, creative, and interesting, actually, to other people. And so travel. And the other thing is that when you decide on a dissertation topic, make sure your dissertation topic is fascinating to you, that at this point in your life to choose something to study, because it'll take you at least a year to do your dissertation, you know, choose something that's exciting for you and that really allows you to cultivate some new areas and contribute significantly to the world. These are really important things. So travel, don't worry about your career, and choose a dissertation topic that will lead toward a career in some specific way.
Yeah, thank you. I love the reference to the yakety yak, and it almost seems like, you know, there are different languages and different careers. You know, there's a different medium of expression in the different careers you have, from experimental psychologist to chaplain. But there's something that's consistent there too. It seems like you're just finding new ways to do the yakety yak and put yeah. that out. There are new languages, new mediums.
I also really love ancient languages. So I learned a lot of Chinese when I lived in Asia, and I love New Testament Greek. So again, it's all about words, more words, yakety yak, 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 yak.
And then your other suggestion about, really staying in tune with your intuition, I hear is a challenge for us as an institution to find and foster more and more ways to develop that in our students and put it front and center and really helping to develop that. So I think that's a nice challenge for us that I'm hearing in that. And I would like to think we're taking that on and doing a good job.
Well, good.
Yeah. And we can do better. So, well, thank you for that. You know, I did want to get your thoughts too about, you know, transpersonal psychology. We talked a little bit about going mainstream, but transpersonal psychology has always been very interdisciplinary. And with the emergence of so many new fields within psychology, such as somatic psychology, positive psychology, eco and environmental psychology, I'm wondering about your thoughts about, first of all, what other, you know, what other fields might we identify, you know, disciplines emerging, but also what is the relationship of transpersonal to these different fields?
I think it's to stay true to our spiritual aegis, our central mode of being transformation from a spiritual perspective. It's not transformation, in terms of making more money necessarily or something like that, but transformation as an inner growth issue. And if we can keep that focus, both at the university and, you know, other places where transpersonal psychology is being developed, if we can keep that innovative focus and the focus on spirituality and transformation, then I think we will be doing our job, whether we technically get credit for it or not. Because what we do is often to offer creativity. And that comes from a transformative process, typically.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes I kind of frame transpersonal as it's like this really nice big umbrella, and a lot of other things might fall under that. But maybe that's really not the right metaphor. Like if we were to take somatic psychology, for instance, that's one that's really popular and emerging and very important. You know, the focus on the body. And I know you've been really big with your body intelligence scale. You've really focused a lot on somatic understanding and expression. So from a transpersonal perspective, so within somatic psychology, is it that what we bring to that is this emphasis on transforming or into maybe the higher reaches or bringing spirituality into the somatic? How would you frame that?
Yeah, for me, my intuition is primarily somatic. And that's why I absorb cultures and information through my feet, if you will. I really often feel like it's through my feet. I have a sympathetic resonance with it. And, you know, I developed embodied writing, which is one of the techniques that is somatic in its origin. And that was done in collaboration with my students at Sophia in the mid 1990s and late 90s. What we can bring, I think, is a fresh approach, which focuses on transforming ourselves and transforming the world in positive ways. And somatics is one way in which we understand our relationship to the world. And of course, it's very important right now with climate change and all the things that are so challenging. In a certain way, we human beings are killing ourselves. And we need to find a way out of that. And I'm hoping that transpersonal psychology can make a contribution in a positive way.
Yeah, that's another area. Environmental or eco-psychology. I would like to think that we have a lot to bring to that. And hopefully those can be developed. While that's happening, though, is there any danger in transpersonal losing its uniqueness or... I know you've already said, well, maybe we won't get credit. You know, we'll be doing this work and maybe we won't get credit, but
I think that's the worst, the thing, the only thing we really, you know, if we're going to worry about that, you know, that's what we can worry about that if we want, but I don't worry about that. You know, I don't think we're going to lose our uniqueness. I don't see that in the people I meet who are new into the field, and I don't see it in somebody like Bob Fraser, who's always doing something new, who founded the school, or Jim Fadiman. I was on, you know, email with Jim Fadiman yesterday, and he's always doing new things. So I think the people who are attracted to the field are going to be inherently concerned about transformation, personal growth, and how they can contribute to the world at large.
Yeah, it seems like with all these disciplines now that there's just, maybe it's just more doors opening. There's more opportunity for those principles of transformation and the higher reaches of consciousness, all those things to find their way in. Maybe it's just that there's more doors opening up.
That's an interesting thing. I thank you for mentioning that. I think that's true. I think there are more doors opening. I saw the other day, and it was for one of my former ITP students, actually. She put me onto a marketing platform called Conscious Marketing. Conscious Marketing. And I don't know how spiritual it is. I really don't know. But the name certainly suggests that the doors are opening. It feels I wouldn't expect.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. That's good to hear. Well, that sort of leads it really into some other questions I have. I'm curious about, you know, where you see transpersonal psychology moving in the future. And I ask this because I would hope that maybe we can be there to help facilitate the trends or help usher them in so that we really do stay, you know, on the cutting edge and emerging. So I'm just curious where, you know, what are some of the ways you see the discipline evolving?
Well, conscious marketing. You know, I hope it is really conscious marketing and not just somebody trying to make more money. Not that money is bad, but, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be the primary goal.
Right.
And, where do I think it's going? I think the first 50 years, if you will, of transpersonal psychology was primarily focused on inner personal growth, me and you and everyone. It is about developing techniques that allowed us to expand personally. Now I think it's more about social justice, making a difference in the world, conscious marketing, you know, and trying to resolve issues. Like at this point, for instance, I'm writing a book on creation goddesses and mother goddesses. And the focus of the book is really to help women in particular understand how they can contribute uniquely as women in the world. Mm. And how they can cultivate these inner qualities by relationship to, say, a goddess or a figure they admire, and or a person they admire, a woman. And then through a certain resonance with those images and symbols and people, then develop ways that they can truly change the world in ways that are important. So we're not, the feminist revolution, if you will, is nowhere near over. And we've only begun. So this book is really focused on trying to cultivate women's fierce feminine, I call it sometimes, the fierce feminine, those ways in which we contribute to the world in unique ways that are unique to women or the feminine in a man. which is also applicable.
Yeah, and I would, would you not agree that your book on the feminine Tao Te Ching is also part of that, that same focus, and that, you know, of course, speaks to your interest in other languages and the yakety yak, I guess, of bringing through a nice message for women. I would agree there's still so much work to be done. And so it sounds like what you're really doing is maybe giving women another way to think about their gifts and encouraging that kind of voice to come into the world where it has to manifest. If we're talking, social justice, it has to manifest in the world. And so thank you for making those contributions.
I enjoy writing, and I probably enjoy the research even more than the writing, frankly, because that's what gives me new ideas, is doing the research. And sometimes I get new ideas when I write too. You know, I guess it's part of the yakety yak tradition, you know, when I talk and answer questions, just like right now, I think of new things. And or when I talk to myself, I think of things I hadn't thought before. So I think it's important that we cultivate the unique gifts that each one of us has. And we all do. I've often said in the context of intuitive inquiry that there may be as many ways to be intuitive as there are people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think it's an important thing to keep in mind as we try to cultivate that and nurture that in our students. I wanted to ask, about your thoughts about, given our focus towards the future, is there anything we should be paying attention to in terms of the academic world and our relationship to that? The sort of scholarly tradition or?
Well, I think, I would advise students and new transpersonalists to focus on what they fall in love with. I mean, if you're writing a dissertation or later in your life, like I'm falling in love with all these goddesses that I'm studying. Mm. some I like better than others, okay. But I fall in love with them, and that brings out a quality in me, and then it brings out a quality in the reader eventually. And so I don't exactly know where the field, I can't say where the field is going, and maybe I shouldn't even hypothesize about it, because transpersonal psychologists are always likely to surprise me. So I'll be wrong.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And maybe it's the falling in love part, that if we stay true to that, it will guide us in the right direction. Again, that's your intuition, really staying true to that. And maybe it's really about us, staying true to those basic principles. And if we hold them, then whatever comes down the road in the future will be there to make that contribution.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're all doing a great job at Sophia. So thank you, John.
Well, thank you. Those are all the formal questions I have, but I wanted to open up. What other thoughts, any general thoughts you have for our students and those coming into the field of transpersonal that you'd like to pass on to them?
Well, I think I've pretty much said it all one way or another. I think the most important thing is that I've been very fortunate, and I give this blessing to all of you, that you will always love your work, and that the work that one is given to do can be something that inspires you, that you love. I mean, I had one job that, I didn't really love it all that much, but I love my colleagues, so I focused on my colleagues. Mm-hmm. So, it depends on where where you want to go, but that the focus being that you do something that inspires you and that you love. And the easiest way to say that is to do what you love. And hopefully somebody will know that that's a good thing to hire you to do too, or you develop your own entrepreneurship, your own career. And I know a lot of my former students have done that. You know, they went to ITP Sophia and they learned to be a coach, for example. And then they went into corporate life and worked with executive officers of large corporations. And certainly they never learned anything at ITP Sophia about working in corporations way, but they were able to adapt and create a job for themselves that they probably didn't even know about or think about while they were actually pursuing their degrees. So thank you, John. It's been wonderful talking.
You thank you, and I want to thank you for, you know, offering your wisdom and experience with us, and thank you for being that guiding light, and I wish you well, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to catch up again soon.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you. You know, thank you for your attention, and I wish you all well. Mwah. Bye-bye.
For more podcasts or information on educational programs at Sophia University, go to www.sophia.edu. Thank you for listening.